Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, August 17th, 2017, and it was another big full practice for the Green Bay Packers yesterday. They were on the field for 2 hours and 35 minutes, and it was their last really intense session before they head to Washington later this week. They'll still have one more practice, but it's more of a lighter practice on Friday, typically, before they fly out, and that will probably be the case this week. As promised, I'm joined by Tom Silverstein, and Tom, it's great to have you back on the Packers podcast.
I am busting loose, just busting loose and ready to roll. I've been a little busy the last couple days because of special sections that will be coming out. Let's plug our special section. I have no idea when it's coming out or how much it costs or whatever, but it's got all kinds of Packers and Badgers coverage in it. So I just finished up that. I'm ready to pod.
Do you think that we need to warn the good people that I will be the one manning the live blog this weekend?
Oh, yeah, we should. I mentioned it in the live blog last week, and yes, everybody, join Michael for frolicking and debate, and don't be surprised if you get crushed by a few people.
Oh, I'm used to it.
Good.
Even at halftime, I would go in there and people would rip me sometimes, and I had just joined for a matter of minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do?
So this podcast, we decided to have a little bit of a debate. One of the questions that I keep getting in emails and tweets is, what is Ted Thompson going to do at the wide receiver position? He's got about 15 million people to choose from, a lot of different skill sets, a lot of different ages. So we figured we'd sort of go through and debate the guys. So let's start easy. Who's a lock to make the team?
Well, first of all, let's say we're basically debating 12 guys.
Yes, 12 guys.
So we've got it narrowed down to just 12.
Just 12. So of those 12, who's a lock to make the team?
Well, first, before we even get to that, let's talk about how many receivers can they keep.
Okay, good. Yeah, good idea.
You know, we've seen times where they've kept 5. We've seen times where they've kept 6. And last year when they kept 7. It's they've got a deep roster, and they have to figure out where they're going to keep guys. I don't think they can skimp on running back like they did last year.
No.
Or tight end.
No.
Which means that do they have 7?
They
keep 7?
They could skimp on fullback and only keep 1. They had 2 on the 53-man roster at the end of the year. Where else could they skimp? Could they go light on offensive line?
How about inside linebacker?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they're going to play all this, nitro stuff with a safety in the middle, maybe they can go light there. I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's always interesting. But I don't think they've had as much receiver talent as this group.
I agree. One quick position I would throw in there too, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. With as much sub as they play, can you go light on defensive line now? You don't play base very often, and if Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels and Dean Lowry are going to take the majority of your snaps, how many guys do you really need behind that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. You're going to have Montrevious Adams.
So that's 4 for sure.
That's 4. You got to have a backup nose tackle, and that'll probably be Brian Price.
And then Jean-Francois.
Oh, there you're up to 6 now. So maybe you can go without a backup nose tackle, but that means that if you face a running team, Clark will have to play it. And Jean-Francois will have to play it.
Yeah.
And even Lowry will have to play it. They'll all have to kind of fit in. So, yeah, that could be an area where they go thin. It's just that those guys get hurt a lot.
Can they shave one off at quarterback instead of 3 like they had last year with Callahan? Go with 2.
No question. I think they could go maybe a little bit lighter at corner too.
Yeah,
maybe they just keep one less than they have. They got a lot of corners. I don't know.
One position where you can't typically go deep is outside linebacker, and with Perry and Matthews being so injury prone, I think that's a question mark. But I wonder if there's even just enough talent to keep as many guys to be that deep.
Yeah, right now you barely have 4.
Barely.
And I don't know what they're gonna do you know, maybe there will be some kind of athlete type that they feel like they could develop over the course of the season that's available after cutdowns, but pretty much they got who they got, and there's no real race to, you know, maybe a Reggie Gilbert will surprise us. Maybe they'll take him, you know, over Fackrell. I kind of doubt it, but who knows?
And who knows what Beagle's going to be like when he comes back, how soon he'll even be ready.
I forgot about Beagle. Well, he's going to have to make the roster. So,
well, he could start on PUP, couldn't he?
He could. He could start on PUP, and that may be the plan. That might be the plan. But that means he's out all of training camp plus the next 6 weeks plus however long it takes him to get into practice. So that's a bit of a gamble. The other guy to keep an eye on is Jonathan Calvin. I thought he's had some really nice rushes, and he's a really good special teams player. So we'll keep an eye on that.
So where do you want to dive into this?
Okay, so you said who are the locks?
Yeah, let's who are the locks to make the team?
Nelson, I'm going to say Nelson and Adams are locks. I'm not going to give Cobb the lock because I have a, you know, just a slight feeling that they could deal him, that they could possibly, if they are really confident in Allison and Trevor Davis, that they could consider it. I think it's a long shot, but someone might look at their roster and say, you know, hey, we really need a slot receiver. Here's what we'll give you. And it could be a lot.
Do you think that if camp goes by and no offer pops up and they come down to cut day and they have to make a choice and Cobb, you know, given his history the last 2 years, is there any chance they would cut him to save money?
No, I don't think so. I think their cap is fine. I think Cobb is potentially too good of a talent to cut. I think the only way you trade him is if you just get an offer you can't refuse. Someone comes in and blows you away. And I don't even know what that would be. But Ted does. You know, Ted Thompson knows what that would be. So that would be the only scenario I would see. That's the only reason I don't list him as a lock.
Now, one of the things I've always wondered about Cobb going into this season is we saw last year that Nelson succeeded in the slot at times, especially down the stretch. We've seen Bennett play in the slot. We've seen Kendricks play in the slot. We've seen Allison play in the slot. Trevor Davis has even lined up there a little bit. So what is Cobb's role? I mean, at best, what is his role this year?
Well, I think he's limited in that he has to play the slot. I really feel that that's his position, that he's not effective outside. Now, one thing where that could change is if they're not real thrilled with their rookie running backs, they could play him in the backfield, not the same way as Montgomery, but some of that Cobb backfield that we've seen before.
Right.
That could be a role for him. I just don't know how they're going to spread everything out. I mean, you got to consider Bennett and Kendricks. Kendricks, don't sleep on him.
He's been good.
He's been really solid. And then you've got the receivers. You know, you only have so many balls to throw around.
So, okay, now we've talked about Nelson, Cobb, and Adams. Let's talk about Allison.
Yeah.
Where do you think he fits into this?
He's at a quiet camp. But I sort of feel like they haven't really used him like they did last year. I think kind of they seem to be like stashing him. Like maybe they're just feeling like he's developed pretty well and he just needs to work with the number ones, you know, with Rodgers.
One of the things that was interesting, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I talked to him one-on-one for a little while last week, and he spoke so confidently about his future here and his role on this team. And that's not to say he shouldn't talk that way, because I think he's going to make the team. But I just think for a guy that has not had the, you know, the most explosive camp, that, you know, him saying that he's definitely going to be on the field in Atlanta and he thinks he's going to have a bigger role this year and he can contribute in the slot and outside, it was, I don't want to say arrogant, because that wasn't the tone of voice he had at all. It was just I don't know if he knew anything or what the case was, but he just had a lot of confidence.
Well, he's bigger and stronger. You can see that.
Yeah.
He's a little bit different than what they have.
Right.
And McCarthy really liked that last year, that he was a different body type than the other guys they have. So that's really an advantage for him.
Do you foresee him giving any contribution at all on special teams despite what they've tried him at?
No.
I don't.
I see him as, second team on some stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's built for it. He might be. You'd think about him being maybe on field goal block or punt block.
He was on punt block. He played sort of that position that they used Janis at times, way out to the edge, so he could kind of come in on an angle. That might be something, but he's not that physical either.
No, I think he's going to be, another wide receiver that doesn't play special teams like Adams and actually all those guys. Cobb, only if he returns.
Right. So now let's talk about Trevor Davis. Let's assume that – well, do you think he makes the team?
Well, if he doesn't fumble punts the rest of the way and shows just is solid as a punt returner, they got to keep him.
I agree.
They don't have a punt returner. Cobb can do it, but I don't think he's been all that effective. I think Davis, you got a history there with that Atlanta game where he had that big return, and now you got a touchdown return plus another return that was pretty good. All of a sudden you got a guy who's starting to prove that he can be the punt returner.
So if he wins that job, the next thing that I wonder is how much do they use him from scrimmage? One thing that I thought was interesting, and they haven't shown this in probably 2 weeks, but maybe the first 6-7 days of camp, he was the one running all the end-arounds that Janis had been running last year. So I don't know if that's something that they're interested with him because of his speed. But what have you thought of him from scrimmage?
I don't trust him.
Agreed.
I think he is inconsistent. I think Rogers said the other day that he's a really good bad ball catcher. Well, you don't want to be known as a bad ball catcher. You want to be known as a guy who catches pretty much the pass that's right on the money.
Right.
And while he's got speed that nobody else does on there, I don't know if where he fits in there, other than you can put him in just like Janis and run some go routes.
Yeah, and even on the go routes, he hasn't had a lot that he's been able to successfully catch. There's been times where he gets behind the defense, but he doesn't seem to have a natural sense when there's a guy closing in on him to pluck it. At least that's what I've seen anyway.
Well, I'll just bring back or show my age, but Desmond Howard was their punt returner in 96, and if he played five snaps from scrimmage, I'd be shocked. I think they had so many injuries at one point, but they were so decimated, and they still wouldn't play him at receiver. So who's to say they can't just keep Trevor Davis as a returner?
Now let's get to the one that everybody wants to talk about, Jeff Janis.
Yeah.
What is this situation all about?
Boy, does he make it tough on them. Even as a receiver, if you're just judging him as a receiver, I don't think he makes it.
I agree.
He has improved. He's shown, I think, a little bit more, I don't know what to call it, skill on deep balls. He's been a little bit more accurate with his routes, but I think still, I don't think he's going to be trustworthy. But dang, his special teams are so good. I don't know how he's borderline. Well, I hate throwing away around Pro Bowl to start. Type stuff, but he is really a good special teams player.
So let's try and put this in context a little bit. When Jarrett Bush was here, how much was he asked to play from scrimmage?
He was asked in situations where they got thin, and he worked as a corner, and then he worked as a safety. And they actually, towards the end, he was part of their safety group. And he had an interception in the Super Bowl, so he was playing a little bit. Janis, they might need him. They might need him at receiver, but you know, if they have Trevor Davis and Giannis, who do you go with? I don't know. One of, they're both speed guys. They both offer kind of the same thing.
So how about the year before I got here, the year of the Seattle NFC Championship game? How much did Goodson contribute from scrimmage? Because he was their best special teams player that season, or at least one of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Boy, that I can't really remember. I don't remember it being a lot.
Okay. So
you can keep a – I think your question is
can you keep one
special teams?
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
And is he the guy on this roster that you would keep?
Yeah, I think he is.
I think so too.
I think you look at Jordan Tripp, you look at Marwin Evans – those are your Fackrell. Fackrell is a really good special teams player.
Yeah, he is good.
I think he led the team in special teams tackles last year. Jamon Elliott is a good special teams player. Those guys.
Kentrell Bryce, too.
Kentrell Bryce. But they have to play positions. And they do. They do. They all play positions. Marwin Evans, a little shaky at safety, but he's getting better. So Giannis would be the one where, you know, maybe he just does special teams.
Do you think that against Seattle he's the kick returner?
I would not rule out Trevor Davis yet. I still think that's a possibility. But he's being given every chance for it. And he's built more for kickoff returns.
Over the next couple of games, special teams coordinator Ron Zook said in addition to Davis and Giannis, he'd like to get a look at some of the young running backs. I've thought that at times Devontae Mays looks like he's a guy that could return kicks. Now, you know, we haven't talked about running backs from scrimmage, but I think of the guys that they may try there, I think he might have a little bit of success.
You know, another guy that we totally haven't mentioned is Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
He was a really good returner in college. And
even his rookie year he was good until he got hurt.
Yeah, and we don't know what his status is going to be as a running back. That should be our next podcast, is to talk about the running backs. But I don't want to get into that, but he's another, depending on what his role is, he would be another guy I would consider.
All right, so let's move down the line. Max McCaffrey, number 13.
I think he's a guy you would love to keep. I think he was a guy they would keep 5 years ago when they had room for a developmental type guy. I just don't think they have room for him. I think he's going to be as good as he's been. I don't think he's physically developed enough yet, and I think he needs another year on the practice squad. They could lose him. I don't think he'll be picked up at the cutdown, but they could lose him later in the year. And then maybe he's one of those guys that they pay full salary and keep him on the practice squad for the whole year.
So I think I may have touched on this on the podcast earlier, but like last week I think it was, Jordy Nelson was asked about McCaffrey, and he said that he sort of sees him as being similar to Geronimo Allison in that it might not be a guy that starts on the 53-man roster, but if he's called on to contribute, the guys wouldn't necessarily be nervous about what he can give you. And I don't think that's a stretch at all based on what McCaffrey's shown so far.
No, and remember, they called him up to the 53-man roster for the NFC Championship game
yep.
last year, despite he had been on the practice squad for 4 weeks. So he was so impressive. And now they were down to, you know, nobody at wide receiver, and he didn't play. He was inactive. But they thought a lot about him, and I think they still do. But I just don't think he can slip through and make it.
As a true slot, how does he compare to Cobb?
Different. I think there's some similarities in that they're both not refined route runners. But McCaffrey catches everything, and Cobb's just better after the catch. That's where Cobb is really good. Is once he makes the catch, he can break a tackle. He can really make some moves.
How much do you think it hurts McCaffrey? Maybe not just this season, but in general, that he does not seem to be a guy that will offer anything on special teams.
That always hurts. That always hurts. I don't know. if there's another wide receiver who would take his place who could offer special teams, he would have to play special teams. But as we move down this list, there are some other guys that might have to play. He's just not a big physical guy. He's only 200 pounds, and I looked up his bench at the combine, or at his pro day, and it was a 9.
Okay. So. Well, I think hold on. I want to check my notes on something.
Yeah. I can see.
Fackrell only had 16.
Yeah. Well, so. He definitely.
And Jared Allen had 13 for the Vikings when he was at the combine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That shows how much that's worth.
So one of the things that's interesting to me about McCaffrey is that I got an email from somebody saying, well, how can you say that he doesn't contribute on special teams? I've been at practice and I've seen him take reps returning punts. And I understand why that question is asked, but I think one of the things that sometimes you can lose sight of in training camp is that just because a guy is doing something doesn't necessarily mean that the Packers think that he's capable of doing it in a season, in a regular season. There are times when you just need guys to take those reps because you don't want to put, you know, Trevor Davis out there in the fourth quarter of an exhibition game. It's not to say they're not looking at him.
They're looking at him.
But I just don't
see. They think that maybe they have that skill set.
Right.
But they would only use them in emergency situations.
Exactly. Yeah.
They have to have guys trained. They have Quentin Rollins do it.
Yes.
And the reason is he can catch the football. And who knows if you're in a situation where you're down several guys and you don't have a punt returner. You need someone who can just catch the ball. So that's why they work those guys.
Let's move down the list. Let's start with the – well, we'll start in chronological order. Yeah. The fifth-round pick, D'Angelo Yancey from Purdue.
Yeah, that's – I think he's going to make it.
I do too.
He's a big receiver. He – even though he's not a speed burner, he seems to have a knack on deep balls. He showed that in the Philadelphia game. He's just a big guy that fits kind of what they like to do. And he could be sort of the, it's not the replacement, but the body type replacement for Davante Adams if he leaves in free agency, which is probably a pretty good chance.
How do you think that would play out if this groin injury for Yancey lingers another couple weeks?
Then you don't know. I think he's shown enough to make the roster.
I agree.
I really do. He does play special teams, too. He's a big guy, strong. I just think that he has too much potential, even though, you know, he needs to show a little bit more.
He told me, I think it was a week and a half ago, that he didn't play any special teams at Purdue, but he was always a backup on special teams. So he went through all this stuff in practice. And when he got here, even though he didn't have a lot of hands-on experience, the terminology and things like that wasn't totally foreign to him the way it is to some of these guys. So that was a pretty big advantage. And also the weight loss. I mean, there's no doubt that during OTAs he was overweight. He admitted it. He was up to almost 232 pounds.
That's amazing.
And then
232.
Yeah, 232. And now he's down to 217, 218. And I know that, you know, in the big context of things, that doesn't sound like a huge amount. But for a guy that plays a position where you need to move quickly and change direction, that's a huge amount of weight.
Yeah. How tall is he? What is he, 6'1", I think he
is? That would be my guess, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big guy. He's similar. I've said that about 12 times. He has that body type of Davante Adams that you need those guys.
How about Malachi Dupree, the 7th-round pick? Of course, he's out with a concussion right now from that hit that he took in the Eagles game, but what do you think?
Yeah, he's a practice squad guy at best. He has a lot of talent, and he came out early for no reason whatsoever, but he just can't – I don't think you can carry him. I don't know how long the concussion – he was out there at practice today, so was Randall. Anytime the guys are out there at practice, that means that they're at the end of the concussion protocol. So I don't think that's going to keep him out very long, but I just can't see him making it.
He's definitely got a lot of talent, and, you know, again, recruiting rankings mean nothing, but he was the number one wide receiver in the country coming out of high school.
That is really amazing.
The number one wide receiver in the country coming out of high school, went to LSU, and just frankly, didn't have a great career there. I mean, there were times he flashed, obviously, but there were people that when he went to school after his freshman year thought this could be a first-round pick eventually, and it just didn't pan out that way.
No, he's very raw.
How about Michael Clark? Another raw prospect.
I don't know that you can make an argument to keep him, but he sure as heck is an intriguing guy. He's so tall. What is he, 6'6"?
He's 6'5 and a half.
6'5 and
217.
A half. So you definitely don't have anybody that height. And he's a good athlete. And if it were a one-game situation and you were thinking, boy, we might need someone to throw a fade to, you know, late in the game, you know, he'd be the guy I'd think about throwing to. But there's not enough there to – right now. He needs a lot of work.
So you'd throw the fade to Clark over Julius Peppers like they tried a few years ago?
Well, I'd throw it to Martellus Bennett first, but if he was playing Richard Sherman, or you just needed some guy to jump, maybe a Hail Mary. How about a Hail Mary?
Okay.
He would, I'm pretty certain that he would be the first guy to get his hands on the ball.
Well, Mr. Janis would like to have a word with you. But I don't know. And no, I agree with you. It's impressive. And I tweeted out earlier today, I tweeted a link to his high school basketball highlight tape.
Mm-hmm.
Some of his dunks are unreal. There's one where a guy takes a shot from like the top of the key and it misses, and Clark comes in, and you know, everyone has seen those putback dunks, you know? Mm-hmm. And he turns around backwards and catches it and does a putback dunk over his head.
Wow.
And I mean, this guy is a legitimate player. I mean, he doesn't do a whole lot at St. Francis, which is, you know, a D1 school, but he got a full scholarship to a D1 school, and I mean, that's legitimate.
Devontae Adams was talking about it today, about his mixtape.
That's why I looked for it. I saw the quote from Adams, and I wanted to check it out.
And, you know, Adams had that one tape of him putting the ball through his legs and then dunking.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe those guys are in the wrong sport. I don't know. The Bucks are looking for some guys.
Now, how about a name that probably not many people are expecting us to talk about, but has sort of come on the last couple of days, Monte Crockett, number 9.
Interesting guy. Another strong, physical guy. He sort of reminds me of a poor man Sterling Sharp. He's not Sterling Sharp by any means, but he's got that kind of body, and you wonder over time if he keeps building that body, if he might not be a kind of a strong guy who would be tough to stop at the line of scrimmage. He's flashed a little bit.
His speed. Do you know what he ran in the 40?
No, I really don't.
He's in the 4.3s.
That's amazing. Really?
He's in the 4.3s. And let me look it up just to be sure, but I'm like 95% sure.
That would really surprise me. Now, he's made some really nice catches. He's also made some really bad plays. But I think he's interesting.
4.39 at his pro day.
4.39. How much does he weigh?
193. 5'11 and a half, 193.
193. So he's not as big as I thought he was. He looks big. I'm also, what is his height is what, 5'11 did you say?
5'11 and a half.
And 193. Okay. Did we have his bench or anything in there?
I'm not sure. He's really interesting because he came from a school, Georgia Southern, where they play the triple option. And so Luke Getsy has talked about it, but also I think some of the other scouts that our former colleague Bob McGinn quoted, this is a guy that essentially didn't even run real routes because their offense in the triple option, you don't do that.
Right.
Let's see what his bench is. So he ran 4.39 at his pro day and 4.25 at a regional pro day.
Wow.
Vertical jump of 38, 18 reps on the bench.
See, yeah, he's pretty strong.
18 reps on the bench is two more than Kyler Fackrell.
That's really interesting about him. You can see him sort of picking it up of late. He's kind of been the guy that's sort of started in the back, and
right.
Now he's He's starting to catch up with some of the other guys.
So one of the things that we've mentioned before is that a lot of these times in practice when a receiver catches the ball, you know, you'll hear Edgar Bennett screaming, "Finish, finish," and the guy takes off down the field. And sometimes the defensive guys will chase him to pretend that they're going to the sideline. And I think it was in yesterday's practice that Crockett caught a short pass and took off down the sideline. And I think it was like Marwin Evans or one of the free agent safeties tried to take an angle on him, and Crockett just exploded down the sideline.
Wow.
And that's when I thought to look up his 40. And I mean, 4.39 and, you know, 4.25 is obviously absurd. But
yeah.
4.39 at a pro day, I mean, that's with a lot of people there, I'm sure.
I'm gonna watch him a little more closely. I didn't realize he was that fast.
Okay, so we have Nelson, Adams. Do we want to say Cobb?
Let's say Cobb.
Cobb.
Yeah, put Cobb in there.
All right, now who else? Who's next?
I got to go with Allison.
Okay, that's four.
Then I got to have Janice.
Five.
And I got to have Trevor Davis.
Six.
And then it's got to come down to McCaffrey, Yancey, or one of those other guys.
And I think Ted's keeping the fifth-round pick every time.
I do, too. I think he'd have a hard time. Now, there's still injuries that could happen. One of those guys could wind up on IR.
No question.
You know, McCaffrey is such an intriguing guy. But he would be, what, eight?
He would be the eighth guy.
Eighth guy if you kept Yancey. It just can't be done. I don't think
they can keep
done.
Eight.
No,
I think that if they tried, they would be too thin at other positions.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
that there's not eight guys that are worth keeping, just that it wouldn't make sense in the balance of the rest of the roster.
I thought seven was ridiculous, and they got away with that last year.
The only way that I think that they can justify seven year in, year out, is if they essentially declassify Janice
yeah.
and just don't view him as a receiver at all.
Right.
He's
right.
just a special teams guy, and so then your receiver room, he's going to be in there, but it's only six.
Yeah, that's technically how you would do it. He would play so many special teams. Essentially what he would do was take a linebacker spot, some linebacker that plays special teams.
Right, right.
Instead of having an extra, you know, inside linebacker, maybe you have Janice.
So now one of the things I wanted to ask you is, we've got our seven guys. You know Jordy Nelson's going to play a ton. You know they probably want to play Davante Adams a ton if
yeah.
he's healthy.
Davante Adams may turn out to be their number one receiver this year. Nelson's it, but Adams is going to – I think he's set for a big year.
So if those two guys are going to play 85 to 90% of snaps, which is close to what they played last year.
Did Adams play that much?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I have it on my computer, but I don't have it.
I got it on my phone. It'll just take me a second to pull it up. So if those guys do play an overwhelming majority of the snaps, I mean, I know I sort of asked you this at the beginning, but how do you divide this up and make it go around?
Well, you got to throw in Bennett and Kendricks in there too. And then you have to think about running the ball. So it's, trust me, by week, I'm going to say four, someone's going to be complaining about not getting the ball enough that, or hinting that they're feel like they could get the ball more often. And so that's going to be an issue, spreading the ball around.
Adams played 86 last year.
86, wow. That's a lot.
He was on the field for, what is the exact number? Of the 1,236 snaps, he was on the field for 1,069.
Well, you think about Cobb was hurt.
Yep.
Had some games where he was hurt.
Missed three in the regular season. That's just regular season, not
yeah,
counting playoffs.
Right, right. Allison didn't join the team until week eight. Trevor Davis didn't play hardly at all. So it was a little different situation where those guys were playing a lot. But now you've thrown in, and you didn't have Jared Cook then either. So now you're throwing in Martellus Bennett and Kendricks, and you've got Richard Rodgers. I just think their snaps will be down.
Nelson played 1080, so 11 more than Adams. So he was at 86, you know, maybe a hair closer to 87%. So it's going to be interesting. Now, of these guys, who do you think has the personality to complain about not getting the ball?
every receiver has. I have not met a receiver who doesn't think he needs to get the ball more.
Really? I've never heard Jeff Janis ask for the ball more.
Okay, maybe Jeff Janis, you know. But
I mean, Trevor Davis is so unassuming. I mean, these guys, I don't know. Maybe Geronimo Allison, but I don't know. Cobb, I guess?
Yeah. Cobb already has. Nelson, I could see hinting at it. Adams as well. Allison at this point is not going to be that guy,
right.
I don't think. Trevor Davis is not going to be that guy because their expectations are low. But between Bennett, Nelson, Cobb, and Adams, that's a lot of snaps and only so many balls.
I think I probably know at least one of the answers to this question, but who have been some of the perpetual complainers about not getting the ball over the course of your career?
Oh, Donald Driver always had a veiled way of doing it. Greg Jennings was a little more forthright about it. I'm sure just about every wide receivers are divas.
I'm surprised you didn't say JerMichael immediately.
Oh, JerMichael, yeah. JerMichael ripped. This is so funny. He was a rookie, and they were playing down at Tampa Bay, and I remember Greg Bedard was talking to him, and he ripped Rodgers for a fade route, you know, like, oh, he could have thrown that a lot better, you know. And Rodgers is an established quarterback, and he always thought he should get the ball more. So, yeah, there's all kinds of guys like that.
Anything else on the wide receivers?
No, I think I'm talked out on them.
Me too.
I think we had a good discussion.
Running backs next? I think that makes the most sense.
Running backs. You know, the one thing about discussing them is I really want to see them get the ball. I mean, there wasn't enough to see in the Philadelphia game.
So maybe we push that to next week?
Yeah, maybe we could talk about, I don't know.
Well, let's talk about outside and inside linebackers.
Yeah.
Do the linebackers together.
Yes. Yep.
So we'll probably do that later today for the podcast for Friday morning.
Okay.
Sounds all right.
Deal.
So Tom Silverstein will be back. I'll be back, and we'll talk to you guys soon. When you want to say